You notice that none of us touch that
to
thing.
Our best.
That's a cock machine.
All right. Good morning. I am Al Wall, the administrative law judge pursuant to temporary appointment designated by the Office of Administrative Hearings upon the request of the Public Service Commission to serve as the hearing officer for this hearing. This hearing is held pursuant to the direction of the Commission and in accordance with a pre-hearing order dated May 6, 2009, to consider and determine whether NuStar Pipeline Operating Partnership, LP, is a public utility within the meaning of North Dakota Century Code Section 48-03.1-02 sub 2 and subject to the application of North Dakota Century Code Chapter 49-03.1, and regardless whether it is a public utility within the meaning of the statute, it is not subject to the application of North Dakota Century Code Chapter 49-03.1. For the record, this hearing is continued from the hearing scheduled by the pre-hearing order to be held June 25, 2009, having been continued by the Commission's order dated June 25, 2009, and scheduled informally for the convenience of counsel pursuant to the direction of the Commission to be held today. Before proceeding with the hearing, I will ask the Commissioners for their comments and any directions for the hearing. Commission President Kevin Kramer.
Just good morning and welcome to everyone, and thank you for your efforts to this point to reach a stipulation. But we, of course, realize we're here just in case that doesn't happen, whether it's a lot of issues or a few issues or big issues or small issues. So look forward to the remainder of the hearing and a thorough review of everything.
Commissioner Tony Clark.
Just good morning and welcome. Look forward to a good hearing.
Commissioner Brian Kalk.
Thanks again for all the work you put forward today, and look forward to hearing your thoughts.
Thank you, Commissioners. The record will show that it is a little after 9 o'clock a.m., October 6, 2009, the time and date agreed for this hearing pursuant to the direction of the Commission, and in accordance with the pre-hearing order dated May 6, 2009, entered in this case, all as I have previously recited. Ms. Madsen, will you state your appearance for the record, please, and identify Associate Counsel?
I am Patricia Madsen of Duncan, Ostrander, and Dingus, and John Dingus is to my left, and we represent the City of Fargo.
Mr. Kelsch, please state your appearance for the record and identify Associate Counsel.
My name is Thomas D. Kelsch, and I represent NuStar Pipeline Operating Partnership, LP. With me is Todd Crandom, partner with Kelsch Crandom Law Firm, and then Diane Sinclair is in-house counsel with NuStar. She's just here to observe. She will be participating in the hearing. And then Joe Graham is with NuStar.
Ms. Jeff Gotsacko, please state your appearance for the record and identify Commission staff who will participate for the hearing.
Ilana Jeffcoat-Sacco, General Counsel with the Public Service Commission, and with me is Patrick Vaughn. He's Director of Compliance and Competitive Markets.
Ms. Manson, you may proceed.
Thank you very much. Now, we have notebooks of exhibits. Should we distribute those now and you can follow the tabs?
You may proceed as you wish. Now, are you going to have separate exhibits for the record, or is a notebook going to be for the
record? I was thinking we would leave one notebook for the record.
So the notebook that I have will be for the record.
That sounds excellent.
And the exhibits are all numbered and marked, seriatim?
Yes. There's a tab index, and then the index is behind a numbered tab. There's no actual exhibit sticker on the documents themselves.
All right. Mr. Kelsch, do you have any problem with that procedure?
I don't have any problem with the procedure. I guess I'd like to, as each exhibit is put in, like that.
Oh, absolutely. No, you of course will offer each exhibit in turn as you would normally.
Yeah.
But my point is the particular exhibits are not otherwise marked other than the identification.
That's fine.
Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco, any objection to that procedure? All right, you may proceed.
Well, again, good morning, commissioners. We want to open with a brief reminder about why Fargo cares about this issue at all, and that is safety concerns for the water supply. That's what got us here. The pipeline we're talking about goes underneath the Cheyenne and the Red eventually, and those are Fargo's sources of water. So that's why we're here. A couple of you may remember that the last time we were here on a different matter, the question was asked why Fargo didn't worry about those other pipelines that went under the water supply. And the answer is, well, we do worry about them, and that's why we're here. Today's question is a narrow question. Is NuStar a public utility? That's the basic issue in front of us. And a brief bit of history. NuStar, after all, applied voluntarily for a certificate of public convenience and necessity. So at what point, at least, they thought they were a public utility. Fargo moved to intervene. We asked for a hearing. NuStar asked what information we wanted. Fargo told them. NuStar moved to withdraw its application. It looked to Fargo then, and it still does, that NuStar is willing to be a public utility when it's a matter of routine, under the radar, and is not willing to be a public utility when it means providing information to the public. The decision was made to kind of trifurcate this hearing to decide whether it's a public utility, and then if there's any category of public utility that doesn't have to have a certificate. Once those decisions are made, and if they're made the way we hope they are, then there'll be a separate hearing on the question of the certificate itself and the merits. If NuStar is a public utility, and a public utility needs a certificate to operate in North Dakota, like the statute says, then we'll be back in front of you. The first question is whether NuStar is a utility at all. Then we'll discuss the public nature of it, and then whether there are any non-certificated public utilities in North Dakota. NuStar is a utility, and for three reasons. It's taxed as a utility. It operates a system, the pipeline, the North Product System, that meets a common sense understanding of what a utility is. And NuStar itself says the utility serves a very critical public need. As to taxes, we'd show the commission the printout for Stutzman County from the North Dakota Tax Commissioner's internet site, indicating the status of most of NuStar's property. And that's behind tab 2. This is not certified, and if it's important to the commission, we would obtain a certified copy after this hearing. We didn't come across this in time to arrange for a certified copy for this hearing. But I would represent as temporary officer of the courts in North Dakota that it is as downloaded as it printed out. As the commission can see, most of NuStar's Stutzman property, anyway, is listed as utilities. In fact, the pipeline is centrally assessed by the Board of Equalization in this state because it's a utility that crosses several lines, several counties, and has some statewide import. Behind tab 3, we would offer the Stutzman County tax certificate as Exhibit 1.
All right, Ms. Madsen, I took this rather as an opening statement. It's obviously not an opening statement. And so you're kind of combining what, a presentation and your exhibits, and you're going to proceed through the exhibits to offer the exhibits, and then you're going to rest.
That's what I would like to do, because we don't have witnesses. We just have documents.
No, and I understood that. But in any event, you're not making an opening statement. You are, in effect, offering your exhibits with an explanation.
Yes, if that's acceptable to the commission and to you.
I don't object to the there's nothing wrong with the procedure. I don't think not hearing any objection in any event.
Mm-hmm. Depending upon the exhibit, I guess.
No,
exhibits were not challenging as the foundation or anything. So.
And I understand this procedure is a little bit unusual, I guess.
We kind of hoped it would streamline things because the statement and the opening statement would be the same thing, really.
Yes, it sometimes is. All right, I'm willing to proceed in that way. So the pending question is now the offer of exhibit.
It would be year one. It's behind tab two. And I should say at this time that what's behind tab one is a map of the pipeline in the five counties in North Dakota. It goes through for illustrative purposes. If you're curious about
it. Okay, so, but now these exhibits are not going to come in the order that they're numbered in the book.
Well, I'm happy to call it Exhibit 2 and just say there is no Exhibit 1. Or to offer what's behind tab 1 as an illustrative exhibit.
No, let's, you know, this makes sense to me, subject to counsel's advice. This makes sense to me if we stay with the numbering in the book. And I'm not sure I would call it tab 2. I would call it exhibit. Well, now, is this... Now, this data from the tax commissioner that's behind tab 2... Is that the only, can we call that Exhibit 2? Will that
yes.
be the only Exhibit 2?
Yes.
So Exhibit 2 is behind tab 2,
exactly.
And that will be true for every exhibit?
Yes.
Then let's please stay with that so that the tabs will identify the exhibits, and everybody's got the same thing, and that's the way we will proceed. Then, Mr. Kelsch, I'm not sure with your exhibits... I'd be inclined to follow seriatim with 13.
Okay.
And so then we've got a consistent record for the hearing.
And we're not objecting to this process. I guess I would just point out that the statements made by Ms. Madsen
are not evidence. Everybody understands that.
Okay.
The only evidence that Neustar is offering, I'm sorry, that Fargo is offering with this procedure are the exhibits. Ms. Madsen's commentary is by way of identification and explanation. All right. So, Mr. Kelsch, Exhibit 2.
I have no objection to Exhibit 2.
Is Jeff Kotsacko?
No objection.
Exhibit 2 is received.
Again, thank you. Again, on the tax issue, what's behind tab 3, and let's call it Exhibit 3, is... First, the statute that the commission, of course, can take notice of, that pipeline companies are public utilities. So at least once the North Dakota legislature spoke on that point and defined it that way for tax purposes, property tax purposes. And then there's some printout from the proceedings of the State Board of Equalization. If you go through the table of contents to what's marked as page 5, you see that CANEB, which is the old name for Neustar, is taxed centrally assessed. And that's what Exhibit 3 is about, so we would offer that.
Mr. Kelsch, Exhibit 3.
No objection.
Ms. Jeff Kotsacko.
No objection.
Exhibit 3 is received.
As to the common sense understanding or dictionary definition of what a utility is, Webster's New 20th Century Dictionary says a utility is the quality or property of being useful, something useful, and particularly something useful to the public. And that same dictionary goes on to define a public service corporation as one that includes, for example, water, electricity, gas, or transportation as examples of public service. That is exactly how Neustar defines its pipeline. Neustar has told this commission several times that the pipeline serves a very critical need. Now, behind tab 4, and we're not offering this as an exhibit, it's an illustration because all these statements are already in front of the commission. But they say they serve a very critical public need. They say there's no other existing pipeline system that could meet the demand for transporting petroleum products. Parenthetically, we'd note they have that same monopoly on getting stuff to Moorhead so it can come back to Fargo. And it is a monopoly. They have the only line out of the only refinery in the state. From the terminals on the pipeline in Jamestown Also, refined petroleum goes to the central part of the state. So as to the question of utility itself, there is an old saying that if it waddles like a duck, and it quacks like a duck, and water rolls off its back like a duck, it's a duck. If it's taxed as a utility, and it meets the common sense understanding of a utility, and it has a monopoly, which is classically why we regulate public utilities at all, and serves a critical need with that monopoly, NuStar is a utility. So the next question is it a public utility? To use the language of the North Dakota Century Code, is NuStar engaged or employed in this state to furnish its services to the public generally? And here, too, the answer is yes, and for several reasons. First, NuStar operates as a public utility because it's not a private utility. It moves product for someone else. NuStar does not own the stuff that moves through the North product system, or the East product system either, for that matter. Second, NuStar is a common carrier, pledged to move certain products at certain prices to all comers, whoever asks to have that tariff honored. And third, NuStar indicates to potential investors and others who read SEC filings that it is capable of serving more customers than it now serves. That's the fair implication from the way they make filings with the SEC. NuStar says of its North Pipeline, quote, while the North Pipeline is supplied primarily by the Tesoro Mandan refinery, it is capable of delivering or receiving products to or from the East Pipeline, end quote. The strongest inference from that those phrases is that the pipeline could serve more customers than it now has, and that it would like to do so. Now, that marketing may not have worked very much yet, but a company's status as a public utility doesn't depend on the success of its marketing, doesn't depend on how many customers it has. The connection between North and East may be underutilized, but that's not what will define the commission's decision in this case. NuStar is engaged in this state to furnish services to at least one member of the relevant public. It intimates to the world at large that it would like to be engaged by more such members. I want to move to the question of public versus private. And it is versus, because those are the categories available to you. There is no, well, not private, but not public either category. That statute doesn't have a middle ground. When the pipeline was built, and we believe it was built in 1953 by Standard Oil of Indiana, it was proprietary. And I'm going to direct you to the material behind tab 6. You'll see a list of articles, and the first one, if you fold it out, this pipeline was a very big deal when it started. It's a page from the New York Times business section of 1954, October 3rd. They discovered the Williston Basin shortly before. And this describes the opening. And you'll see in the highlighted area, that's where the 1953 date comes from, that when the pipeline was first built, product moved from Moorhead to Mandan because the refinery wasn't online. And they had a pipeline, so they moved product in it, east to west. And, of course, they made the switch when the pipeline, when the refinery came online. Apparently it wasn't that big a deal to make that switch back in 54. Behind this page are four more press items from the New York Times and the Chicago Tribune and Time Magazine, all to the same general effect about, let's see, the second piece, the one that's titled Standard Oil Starts Work on Pipeline, again, describes the temporary pumping facilities to move product east to west. And the others describe the dedication of the refinery and when that came online in 54. So pipeline in 53, refinery in 54. At this time, we would offer these documents as both ancient documents and exceptions to the hearsay rule because they are necessary. We have no other way to demonstrate the history of the pipeline. and trustworthy. The media that published these articles had no obvious reason to distort them or create a record that wasn't so.
Mr. Kelsch?
I would object to these as hearsay. They're stories. The people who wrote them are, of course, not around here. They're not here to testify. I can't cross-examine them as to the accuracy. Also, I believe it's not really relevant to the main issue today, which is the pipeline being used to provide services to the public generally in North Dakota, not what happened back in the early to mid-50s. I don't see how what was going on back in 1953 or 54 has any relevance on whether NuStar is serving the public generally today. And that's what I believe the court's pretrial order indicated was going to be the issue for the matter today.
You don't think, Mr. Kelsch, that the history may be at least relevant, if not determinative?
How a different company operated the pipeline before the refinery was built or after the refinery was built and what was happening back in 1953, I don't think has any bearing in the issue today, which is, does NuStar offer its services or actually provide its services to the public generally today? And that, I think that's
argument.
The issue.
The question is relevance. The real question is hearsay.
No, then that's my main objection.
I understand.
I don't think it's relevant either. But.
Have you got any case law to put the?
Well,
can you give me some case law for an old newspaper?
We have one.
This is not quite in the same category, I think.
Let me get to my correct tab here. Because there is case law, the issue has arisen. Excuse me.
You know, the question really is it offered, is it relevant if it's true? Does it have to be believed? And to the extent that it's relevant, then it has to be believed, then it falls under the hearsay rule.
Well, it does. That's why it's offered as part of the catch-all exception and as an ancient document.
Oh, boy.
And
okay.
And the case that we have is Dallas. Get that exact site. I should have it more at my fingertips than I do. Oh, because I'm looking in the wrong place. Sorry about that.
So you think this comes in under the catch-all exception?
Yes, which deals with the residual exception, Rule 807. Statement not specifically covered by 803 or 804, but having equivalent circumstantial guarantees of trustworthiness. If the court determines that the statement is offered as evidence of a material fact, I don't know how material this is, I don't want to push it too hard, but they had stated that the pipeline was built by Amoco in 58. And it was a little startling to us to, when we poked around, we came across this almost accidentally to find out it was built by Standard Oil of Indiana, which is Amoco's predecessor, in 53. So, statement of material fact. The statement is more probative on the point for which it is offered than any other evidence which the proponent can procure.
I agree with all that. That is, I understand the rule.
Okay.
I don't understand its application to a, quote, old newspaper, end quote. Have you got case law where this has been admitted?
Yes. In that case, it's Dallas County versus Commercial Union Assurance Company. It's a 61 case.
What jurisdiction?
Federal Circuit, Fifth Circuit. And I did look to see if there was any comparable decisions that had been made in North Dakota, either state or federal, and I couldn't do it. But I did pursue it, and the case has been honored. I think it involved a 58-year-old newspaper about a courthouse being burned down. And basically,
what was the issue?
The issue, trying to get how to. They needed to prove that this courthouse had been burned down, and a 58-year-old newspaper account of the fire in the tower was held to be the way to do it because nobody was around who remembered the fire. As here, I mean, I look at Mr. Graham, and I'm pretty sure he wasn't around when this pipeline was built. So that was determined to be an acceptable way to show some old point. And I can have, if the court would like the case, I have it here.
No.
I guess our point would be that a newspaper article today, of course, would be hearsay. Just because it's older doesn't make it any more accurate. And it's still, I think it's still hearsay. And certainly there have been errors in newspapers concerning dates. And we don't have the ability to cross-examine the person that wrote this. But
you do have, if I may say, they have control over the corporate documents and corporate history. So they could easily, we did get this to them in advance, and they could easily tell us if they have any information that it's wrong.
Jeff Kotzacko, do you have an objection before I...
I have nothing to say on this point.
Well, I think that it is of... that there is a risk of error as to the facts. I acknowledge that, as does the rule. And I think that the relevance may not... be of any great import, but I think it's relevant, and I think it should, in this case, should be admitted under the rule. The objection is overruled, and the evidence is received pursuant to Rule 807. You may proceed.
I would just note parenthetically that since the pipeline once moved east to west, it could again. Times of severe shortage, such as I think has occurred here fairly recently of gasoline, there might be some need. Now, Fargo doesn't mean to suggest that what Newstar calls unidirectionality, whether product moves in one direction or both directions, is dispositive of whether Newstar is a public utility. But the record should reflect that historically, product can move in both directions. As far as we can determine, though, even before Mandan refinery was online, Standard Oil moved its own product through that pipeline. So it was private and proprietary. Firm operating a proprietary pipeline did not need a certificate of convenience and necessity. So they didn't ask for one, and this commission didn't make sure they had one. And when the refinery came online, that situation didn't change. They still didn't need a certificate, and the commission still didn't ask them for one. They were moving their own stuff. Fast forward to 2002. After many changes of owners, all of them functioning as private utilities and proprietary carriers, for the first time, ownership of the refinery got severed from ownership of the pipeline. So the pipeline now moves, as of 2002, product that's not its own. It serves not its owner, but somebody else. The operator of the pipeline became a common carrier instead of a proprietary carrier, and a public utility, we argue, instead of a private utility. The new owners didn't apply for a certificate of public convenience before they began to operate, but they should have. The statute says that no public utility shall begin operation of a public utility plant or system without first obtaining from the commission a certificate that public convenience and necessity require the operation. So the certificate should have been obtained by Newstar before, and it's called CANEB then, but before it operated the pipeline. And it's worth noticing in the North Dakota statute that the firm operating the public utility system is the public utility. That's not how all states have their statutes written, but that's how North Dakota has its statute written. So the public utility includes any firm engaged or employed in this state to furnish its services to the public generally. So what matters is not when somebody began to operate the pipeline. It's when Newstar began to operate the pipeline. Newstar didn't get around to application. Commission and the press of business didn't insist on it. They've been operating it about 7 years without a certificate. But it's a little like what happens to me if I don't pay my taxes. If I don't get around to paying them and the tax man doesn't bill me, when they finally catch up with me, I don't get to say, well, I got away with it so long, I have a right to keep getting away with it. It's just not going to work like that. And it doesn't work like that with utility regulation either. Sooner or later, we all have to comply with the statutes of the state. All right. Another reason that the pipeline is a public utility is because it is a utility in a common carrier. The pipeline is a piece of infrastructure that is essential to the people of the state of North Dakota. And essential is NuStar's word. The refinery adds value to the state's oil reserves. Refined product with that added value moves through the pipeline, generates revenue, jobs, serves industry, serves agriculture. When the pipeline was operated by a private utility and was a proprietary character, it was exempt from regulation by this commission, but that changed in 2002. Now, Fargo is not arguing that all common carriers are public utilities. Where there are a number of competing truck lines or airlines, for example, those are common carriers that aren't public utilities. There's competition. If one of them drops out of the picture, the public doesn't suffer much. So there's no particular need to regulate in the way that we regulate monopolies like electricity, gas, and this pipeline. Where an entity operates an essential public service, what NuStar says it does, and Fargo agrees and has a monopoly on that service, as NuStar does, and has to provide its service to anyone who can meet the terms of its tariff. That kind of common carrier is also a public utility. So is it nonetheless somehow private because it has one customer? Well, NuStar appears to think that there is a one-customer exception to the public utility statutes. There is no such exception. The public in public utility refers to the relevant public, the public that can make use of the utility. Now, in the broad sense, that's a lot of the people in the state of North Dakota, but in the narrow sense, it's the Mandan refinery. It changes hands frequently. It's now owned by Tesoro. Tesoro is not NuStar. NuStar moves Tesoro's product, not its own. Tesoro is the relevant public. Comparable situation might be if investors built a power system for a remote mine or a military operation. Now, if they're willing to build a utility, knowing they have one customer, without taking an interest in the customer, they've built themselves a utility with a limited public, but a public utility nonetheless. And NuStar does indicate to investors that it's available for other customers. And it suggests to investors that it has other customers, as we mentioned earlier. NuStar moves product through the pipeline we're talking about, we argue, for companies outside North Dakota. Now, behind tab 7 is a version of what's up on that easel there without the little pictures. It's where the two terminals are in Stutsman County. And you can see that in the east terminal, the east pipeline, it's a little confusing because the east pipeline goes north and south and the north pipeline goes east and west. But the east pipeline system comes up into that east terminal. Product moves then from the east pipeline in the east terminal, mixes with product from the north terminal, and goes right back into the pipeline on east.
Your Honor, I'm going to object. She's making statements of fact that aren't in evidence, and allowed some leeway here. But I guess I have to object to that. It's a waste of time. Certainly, if she wants to make a closing statement at the end after all the evidence is in, I think that's maybe more appropriate. If she has some proof to prove that mixes, then let's put the proof in.
Okay, we'll get to tab 8.
But not. Be making assertions that all facts that aren't in the record.
Fair enough. At this time, we'll move to get the Stutsman County map.
Well, just a minute. You know, Mr. Kelsha, I agree this is a little irregular, but on the other hand, it seems to me it works well for the commission. And I understand this is really an opening statement and a closing argument all wrapped into one. And that seems to me that it may work in this case, and I'm willing to allow some leeway for that.
So I'm going to overrule the objection, but at the same time, I also agree that you have to be careful that you don't make assertions of fact that aren't shown by the exhibit that you're referring to.
And I got ahead of myself.
Okay. So the objection is overruled with that caveat.
Thank you very much. So we would move to admit 7, which is the map that's similar to the one that's up there, and then we'll move on to...
Mr. Kelsch?
Are the little the Google Maps also part of that exhibit?
Yes. They situate the north refinery vis-a-vis 94, and then the two behind that situate the east one vis-a-vis 94 and 281. So the Google Maps show why the arrows point to where they do.
No objection.
All right.
Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco?
No objection.
Exhibit 7 is received.
Moving on to Exhibit 8, because this is the diagram of the junction, and these maps came to us from Neustar.
Your Honor, we have no objection to these exhibits, but we do, as we've indicated on there, they are confidential. Yes. These are documents that Neustar holds as proprietary documents, holds confidential. They are not available to the general public. They take certain actions to prevent them from being disclosed to the general public, and we would request that, although we don't have any objection that these be admitted for the purposes of this hearing, but we want them admitted subject to the confidentiality provisions that of the North Dakota statute and that this court as a hearing officer can order.
And we've agreed to that.
I don't have a lawyer over there. all right.
As I understand it, the commission and the staff can use the document, but that it would not be a part of the public record.
Would not be made available as a public record. Jeffcoat-Sacco, do you agree?
I didn't hear the beginning.
With reference to exhibit, may exhibit 8 be received subject to the trade secret rules of the commission and treated accordingly?
Yes, it can be, but it should not be in these books, and I should go put it away.
I understand, and we'll clean. We'll trust the commission to clean this up afterwards.
Okay.
All right. With that requirement, Exhibit 7, I'm sorry, we're not, 8. Has 8 been, you've offered 8.
Well, I want, let's offer it, and I'll, because I don't think he has an objection, and we can talk about it a little bit.
All right, Mr. Kelsch.
I have no objection as long as it's held confidentiality.
Exhibit 8 is received subject to the trade secret provisions of the rules of the commission.
Your Honor, on the third page of it, excuse me, the handwritten notes we would object to, they were not in the document that we provided to them. I'm not sure what they are or who put them on there, but we would object to the handwritten note.
There are three sets. The first stapled chunk is what I call the bear maps. That's what we got from Neustar.
We're not objecting to the first three pages, I guess. The separate three, we would object to the handwritten notes.
And I will just say the handwriting is mine. I couldn't read the print, and I blew it up on my screen as big as I could and copied to the best of my ability in pencil what it said. So that's the source of that handwriting. And then I looked up some abbreviations on a pipeline glossary site. So I think it helps to understand what we got from Neustar says, but it's not the pure thing that we got from Neustar. That is true. And the third set, our engineers marked up just to show the directionality of the line. Again, that engineer could not be here, and we can just use Neustar's maps if we need to, and Mr. Graham can clear things up if there's a problem.
I would object to, the third set with that an engineer is not here to testify. I can't cross-examine him, so certainly any comments on flow, we would object to the third set.
All right, we'll
if the first one is, and I haven't had a chance to check it, if they're just a copy of what's actually printed on there. I guess I don't know that I have any major objection to that. If it's all accurate, I haven't had a chance to see it all. But
well, Mr. Kelsch, give me a break. Do you object or don't you object?
Okay, I object to. I object because I don't think it's necessary to have the handwritten things on the second set. I object to the third set that's in there because there are comments from an engineer who's not here to testify, and I have no ability to cross-examine them. And so that would all those comments would be hearsay and. And we have a witness that can testify.
Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco.
I don't have an opinion on this.
Well, the first three pages of Exhibit 8 are received. The remainder of the exhibit are refused.